Hello, everyone. I greet you all in the name of Jesus. This is Jeffries Samuel, your Bible study teacher on the book of Micah. This is our second class on Micah. In the previous class, we discussed how God was going to judge Judah and Israel for their sins. We covered Micah chapter 1, verses 1 through 7. Now we are starting our lesson from verses 8 through 16. I gave the title for this section, Lamentation or Funeral of a Ruined Kingdom. Prophet responded to God's message by acting like a grieving man at a funeral. He himself is the chief mourner. Listen to his cry. Because of this, I'll weep and wail. I will go about barefoot and naked. I will howl like a jackal and mourn like an owl, for her wound is incurable. You see this in verses 8 through 9. If you look at Job, his life, he cried out in on distress. I have become a brother of jackals, a companion of owls. Job chapter 30, verse 29. Micah was very much heartbroken to know what would happen to his people if they did not listen to the Lord and turn from their sin. He wailed like jackals and mourns as the owls. We ought to lament the punishment of sinners as well as the sufferings of the saints in this world. The wound of sinners are incurable. Samaria was ruined. The capital city of the northern kingdom was situated on a hill that overlooked a fertile valley. The prophet Isaiah called the city the crown of pride with glorious beauty. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 1. He predicted that God's judgment would destroy the city. If you read Isaiah chapter 28, verses 2 through 4, the Assyrians would turn the beautiful city into a heap of rubble. God destroyed the city and Samaria because the people rebelled against his word. He destroyed the temple in Samaria because it housed a false religion. God destroyed the temple in Jerusalem because the leaders had turned the true religion into a false worship of Jehovah and the gods of the nations. Jehovah is a jealous God who will not share worship or glory with another. Exodus chapter 20, verse 5 says, "You shall not bow down to them, that is, idols, or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me." Exodus 34:14 says, "Do not worship any other God, for the Lord your whose name is jealous is a jealous God." God made a covenant with his people at Sinai. It was like a marriage contract, and the break that covenant was like committing adultery or prostitution. The destruction of the city of Samaria was begun in 722 BC under Sargon II, ruler of Assyria. Many are taken captive or killed. Assyria destroyed and reached the gate of Jerusalem under Sennacherib. They laid siege of Jerusalem, came to the gate, but could not go in. God miraculously saved the city. The enemy swept through the land and took 46 cities except Jerusalem. Micah called upon several cities to mourn. Micah used a series of puns, that means play on words, when he called the cities. For example, Gath is similar to the Hebrew word for tell. So he wrote, tell it not in Gath, verse 10. According to Matthew Henry's commentary, they must not let the Philistines hear them. Beth Opera means house of dust. Thus he wrote, roll in the dust, verse 10. Shafir means pleasant or beautiful. Thus he wrote, the people of Shafir would look neither beautiful nor pleasant as they were herded off as naked prisoners of war. Verse 11. Zanan means come out. The citizens of Zanan would not be able to come out because of the danger. Verse 11. Beth Ezel means house of taking away, and the city would be taken away. Verse 11. Maroth is related to Mara Mir, and means bitterness. And the city would experience bitter calamity. Lachish sounds like the Hebrew word for a team of swift horses. He warned them to harness their horses to the chariots and try to escape. Verse 13. Micah came to his own city, Moresheth. Moresheth would be conquered by the enemy and no longer part of Judah. Marsha or Moresheth was given to Judah as part of inheritance in Joshua chapter 15, verse 44. The city of Lachish was guilty because she was the beginning of sin, the sin of adultery, to the daughter of Zion. Verse 13. They had learned it from the 10 tribes and so infected the 2 tribes with it. Lachish would give gifts to Moresheth, God, to get help, but in vain. Verse 14. The town Achish, which means deception, was joined to Marsha or Moresheth, was turned out to be a lie to the kings of Israel. Verse 15 says, I will bring a conqueror against you who live in Marsha. He who is the glory of Israel will come to Adullam. Adullam is a poor, despicable place, according to Matthew Henry. The whole land of Judah seems called weeping and mourning. Verse 16. Shave your heads in mourning for the children in whom you delight. Make yourself as bald as the vulture, for they will go from you into exile. The tragedy of this invasion is that it needed not have happened. If the people of Israel and Judah turned to the Lord in repentance and faith, he would have given them glorious victory. Instead, they believed the false prophets. They held on to their idols. They did not want to give up their sinful ways. little children suffered and went into exile because of the sins of their parents. Reasons for judgment. Why judgment is coming? We may ask the question, how could the Lord God allow his children go through the sufferings and shame? Israel is his special people, special heritage. Why he was punishing them? Amos chapter 3 verse 2 says, you only have I chosen of all the families of the earth, therefore I will punish you for all of your sins. God is teaching them responsibility and accountability. They are accountable for two particular sins, covetousness and listening to false prophets. Micah chapter 2 verses 1 through 5. Woe to those who plan iniquity, to those who plot evil on their beds. At morning's light they carry it out because it is in their power to do it. They cover fields and seize them, and houses and take them. They defraud a man of his home, a fellow man of his inheritance. Therefore, the Lord says, I am planning disaster against these people, from which you cannot save yourself. You will no longer walk proudly, for it will be a time of calamity. In that day, men will ridicule you. They will taunt you with this mournful song. We are utterly ruined. My people's possession is divided up. He takes it from me. He assigns our field to traitors. Therefore, you will have no one in the assembly of the Lord to divide the land by lot. It is the sin of oppression. They desire that which is not their own. They covet fields and houses. They invent ways of accomplishing their desire. They devised it upon their beds. The Mosaic law required that the land remain with the families and within the tribes. The land actually belonged to the Lord. Isaiah chapter 5 verse 8 says, woe to you who add house to house and join field to field till no space is left and you live alone in the land. Leviticus chapter 22 verse 2 says like this, the Lord said to Moses on Mount Sinai, speak to the Israelites and say to them, when you enter the land I am going to give you, the land itself must observe a Sabbath to the Lord. Verse 23 says, the land must not be sold permanently because the land is mine and you are but aliens and my tenants. If anybody sold family property, it was only until the next year of Jubilee, at which time all land reverted back to the original owners. Leviticus chapter 25, verse 13 to 17. This arrangement kept the rich from oppressing the poor and helped to stabilize the economy. But in Micah's day, the wealthy robber barons were acquiring large estates and enslaved the poor and making huge profits with little investment. God was bringing judgment against his people for their iniquity. Their sin had ruined the nation. He was going to judge them for their covetousness. God was going to judge them for oppressing their fellow human beings who are poor and needed help. God was going to judge them for their evil devices to accomplish their desire. God was going to judge them for using their power and authority to hurt and destroy the poor. The evil men were planning and devising their schemes at night in their bed, and in the morning they very quickly and efficiently practice and accomplish their design, their plan. It caused shame and disaster in the society. They covet and may take away by violence and what not belongs to them. They care not to do wrong, and they did openly. They took away men's field by violence and force. They committed fraud. They care not to whom they do wrong. They oppressed a man and a house. They robbed and ruined those that had numerous families to take care and send their wives and children to beg. They oppressed a man and his heritage. They took away the heritage from those who have title from their ancestors to enrich themselves. They disregard the laws. They did not have any fear of God. They did not have any concern for their fellow human beings. Bible is always concerned about the poor. Exodus chapter 23, verse 10 through 11 says, as a Sabbath laws, for 6 years you are to sow your fields and harvest crops. But during the 7th year, let the land lie unplowed and unused. Then the poor among your people may get food from it, and the wild animals may eat what they leave. Do the same with your vineyard or vineyard and your olive grove. Leviticus 25:25 says, if one of your countrymen becomes poor and sells some of his property, his nearest relative is to come and redeem what his countrymen has sold. If, however, a man has no one to redeem it for him, but he himself prospers and acquires sufficient means to redeem it, he is to determine the value for the years since he sold it and refund the balance to the man to whom he sold it. He can then go back to his own property. But if he does not acquire the means to repay him, what he sold will remain in the possession of the buyer until the year of Jubilee. It will be retained in the Jubilee, and he can then go back to his property. Here again, God is concerned about the poor. In verse 35 of that same chapter, if one of your countrymen becomes poor and unable to support himself among you, help him as he would an alien or a temporary resident, so he can continue to live among you. Psalm 82:3 says, defend the cause of the weak and fatherless. Maintain the rights of the poor and oppressors. Proverbs 21:13. If a man shuts his ears to the cry of the poor, he too will cry out and not be answered. Deuteronomy 15:7-8. If there is a poor man among your brothers in any of the towns of the land that the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward your poor brother. Rather be open-handed and freely lend him whatever he needs. False prophets. Micah 2:6-11. The false prophets attack the faithful prophets such as Jeremiah, Amos, and Micah for declaring the true message of God. They argued that God would not punish them because they are his special people. He would never permit this judgment to happen in the land, I quote. The Jews were Abraham's children, God would never break the promise he made to Abraham. That's where they're thinking, and the people ignored warning from God. Micah chapter 2 verse 16, do not prophesy. The prophets say, do not prophesy these things. This disgrace will not overtake us. The false prophets do not want to hear the accounts of what they have seen or heard. They only want to hear what is pleasing. They support the drunkenness and lawlessness. Verse 7 says, should it be said, O house of Jacob, is the Spirit of the Lord angry? Does he do such things? In silencing the Lord's prophets, they cannot silence their spirit too. They cannot control the Spirit of God. If they silence the prophets, the Spirit of the Lord find other ways to reach their conscience. They were proud to be the house of Jacob, but their actions did not honor Father Jacob. Do not my words do good to him whose ways are upright? Verse 7. God's prophets proclaimed his words for the good of the people. The false prophets were hindering the benefits from God. God wanted to protect his people from destruction, but they did not want to hear the word of the Lord. They were threatened with punishment for their sin. Lately, my people have risen up like an enemy. You strip off the rich robe from those who pass by without a care, like men returning from battle. Verse 8. They became the enemies of the nation. Instead of defending their country, they were destroying it. They were hiding and robbing these people. They stripped the rich robe of those who pass by without a care. The women were driven off their pleasant homes. The children were abandoned, sold them to strangers, and made them slaves. Verse 9. You take away my blessing from their children forever. Children of Israel were free, and now they are slaves. God passed judgment for their evil deeds. Verse 10 says, get up, go away, for this is not your resting place, because it is defiled. It is ruined beyond all remedy. By their own wickedness, the country was ruined. They were obligated to depart out of their land. Verse 11 states, if a liar and deceiver comes and says, I will prophesy for you plenty of wine and beer, he would be just the prophet for these people. The people accept the false prophets to gratify their own evil wishes. They would not admit the truth. So God sent them strong delusions to believe a lie. Isaiah chapter 30 verse 10 says, they say to the seers, see no more visions, and to the prophet, give us no more visions of what is right, tell us pleasant things, prophesy illusions. Jeremiah chapter 5 verse 30 and 31, a horrible and shocking thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesy lies, the priests rule by their own authority, and my people love it this way, but what will you do in the end? Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy about the last days as a warning to Christians. 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 3 to 4, for the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. Instead, to suit their own desires, they will gather around them a great number of teachers to say what their itching ears want to hear. They will turn their ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. God gave Micah the true message, but the religious leaders rejected his warning. John chapter 8 verse 47 says, he who is of God hears God's words, Therefore, you do not hear because you are not of God. These false prophets were deceiving and robbing the people by giving them false assurances. Micah chapter 2, verse 8 and 9 shows the picture of two carefree men, a rich man walking confidentially down the street, and a victorious soldier returning home with the spoils of the battle. Both of them were robbed by the evil rich leaders. A good mother and her family find themselves thrown out of their home and robbed of their land. Hope for the future, deliverance promised. Verses 12 through 13. Micah proclaimed consolation and hope for those who receive his message and turn to God. I will surely gather all of you, O Jacob. I will surely bring together the remnant of Israel. Verse 12. With the prophecy of doom, he also holds out hope to those who are living as God would have them to live. God was speaking to the entire nation. All of you, O Jacob, also talk to about the remnant of Israel. His promise seems to reach ahead to the end times, when Israel and Judah will be united and their Messiah will reign over them. Micah describes a victorious march into the land with King Messiah at the head and the Lord leading the people. The Messiah is described in verse 13 as one who breaks open the way. Verse 12 talk about remnant of Israel. The remnant is very important doctrine in the prophetic book. There would always a faithful remnant that would trust him and seek to do his will, even though the nation of Israel as a whole rebel against God. God would have mercy to the nation because of the faith of this remnant. This is also true of the professing Christian church. The hope of the nation lies with the remnant. Micah's first message aroused the opposition of the false prophets. He did not change the heart of the people. He warned the people that God was going to judge them for their sins, but he also gave them hope that a deliverer is coming to redeem them. Thus he gave a good message announcing that the deliverer is his coming. In the next lesson we deal with this subject, the deliverer is coming. Praise the Lord and God bless you all.